You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the hearing God's voice, and we're going to finish up with that today. We said last week the Holy Spirit was never meant to be defined. He was meant to be discovered. And today I want to talk about three baptisms that are mentioned in the Bible. The word baptism is from the Greek word baptizo, and most Greek words have sort of a word picture with them. And the word picture with this word is taking a cloth and dipping it into or submersing it into a different color, and it comes back out when it's a different color. And that's the concept of baptism, is a full immersion, totally wet, all the way down. You come up soaking, and hopefully, life changes for you. We're going to talk about that in a second. So three baptisms here when we're talking about immersion is this. The baptism first is salvation. The Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus for salvation. And there's two scriptures we're going to look at. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body." And 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, "Now it is God who makes us both us and you stand firm in Christ in our salvation. He anointed us, he set a seal of ownership on us, and he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." So the first baptism is this: when you come to faith and you say, I'm a believer of Christ, the Spirit comes in you and it puts his seal upon you, that he says, this is God's child. He is a follower of Jesus. This is a guarantee. This is to show you that you're mine. And the seal is there, the stamp of approval by the Holy Spirit. You are a child of God. And then it says we are baptized into one body, into one body. So when you come to faith, you are brought into the kingdom of God, into the church of God. And if you've been around a long enough time, you realize that I don't put a lot of emphasis on membership. People talk me all the time about membership. And the reason is this, is I believe that we're all part of the body of Christ. When we come to faith, there are different expressions, right? There are different styles. You can say different tribes if you want to, but we're all part of the body of Christ. So that's why we don't play a huge, just like I would say we're all a part of the human race, but there's different families and there's different areas of places we live in. And so there's these different groups that come together, tribes. It's the same way in the body of Christ. You have brothers and sisters around the world in faith. They're all over the place. They're of all nationalities. So we're one body. And when you come to faith in Christ, you're baptized into Jesus, into that one body. I saw a special on Billy Graham that I taped the other day. Just an amazing man of God. I had the privilege when I was in college to sing in a choir at a Billy Graham crusade and just watch the whole thing. But I didn't realize this is from 1945 to 1949, he actually quit preaching. And the reason he quit preaching is there was a group of people that were friends of his, contemporaries, that no longer believed that the Bible was the literal translation of God's words, that it was infallible, that you couldn't take it literally. And so he struggled for 4 years. He quit speaking during these 4 years as he struggled with this message. And finally, he came to his epiphany that this can be trusted. And the same way that I came to faith and believed in Jesus is the same way I come to faith and believe in the Bible. And it was from that point on that he spoke the same thing at every crusade. Remember, repent and be born again. Repent and follow Jesus. Because he believed the scriptures, and repentance literally means stop the way you're going, turn around, and go the other way. So Billy Graham would get up and say, repent, stop where you're going, turn around, and you'll be baptized into Jesus, into the body of Christ. So that's the first baptism. The second baptism is water baptism. The disciple baptizes us in water. In Matthew 3:11, the dot, dot, dot means you don't get the whole scripture. We're going to give it to you in a second. So I baptize you with water for repentance. Anybody know who's speaking there? John, and he was the Baptist because he baptized people. So in fact, you're reading the scriptures, it says many of John's disciples. And then Acts 1:5, Jesus is actually talking about John also. He says, "For John baptized with water." And then we have the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So at our church, you say, "I want to be baptized in water," after you've made a decision for faith in Christ. We just suggest you who is the person that influenced you the most in your decision to follow after Jesus, and let that person baptize you. That's the disciple that's led you into faith. And so I've seen fathers or mothers baptize their children, or uncles or aunts or friends, or one of our staff members, one of our youth leaders. We believe that disciple who's bringing you into faith should be the one that baptizes you in the water. And we're going to talk about the significance of what that means in just a second. The third baptism is Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go back to these two scriptures. Matthew 3:11. I baptize you with water for repentance, but, John says, after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's how he said in Arkansas. Actually, in Arkansas, he said Holy Ghost and fire, but it scared all the kids, so we changed it to Holy Spirit and fire, right? And so, and you know, on the day of Pentecost, when they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, little fires were dancing on their head. That's what the scripture says. So there's something there. In Acts 1:5, again, just as Jesus talking, he says, for John baptized you with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we see three baptisms, and here they are, to recap. The Holy Spirit baptized us in Jesus for salvation, and it's where the Holy Spirit comes in and seals our heart unto salvation. The disciple baptizes us in water, and that brings new life. I think it's a spiritual act. I think it's a part of our journey that's really important. And if you've never been baptized, then the scripture I'm going to take you to right now is something you should read. Romans chapter 6. Read the whole chapter. If you've never been baptized, and see if the Lord doesn't stir something in your heart. But I'm going to read you verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were buried into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So baptism is a sign, and I think it's also even a spiritual exercise where we are baptized in the water. And all the old person, all that, the person that would rise up against you and get angry and bitter and the things that you used to do, you were raised into new life. And now you start a new life. And people would say, to me, or people have said, you know what, you need to control your flesh, or you need to die to your flesh. That's what you need to die to your flesh. And I would say this, you need to realize you're already dead to your flesh. Because it was left behind. And so coming to this understanding that when something comes up in you and you're like, I can't get control of this, you need to come. This is what Romans 6 is. Don't you realize that you died to that? Don't you understand that was buried there? I was baptized in a creek. That's what we said in Arkansas. Creek or a river or a swimming pool or a jacuzzi, wherever you were buried, right? Spiritually buried, that old man stayed there and you risen from it. So something, Paul says, why do you keep on sinning? Don't you understand that that day was the day that all that stuff went away? You're raised into newness of life. Now walk in what you already know. The last one is Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the other verse, sorry. And that gives us power for life or power for ministry. And it's really important. And I've been around for a long time, including my own life, where the first two everybody gets. I come to faith, I get baptized in water, and then I live my life accordingly. But the scripture talks about the three, and Acts chapter 8 is a great illustration of this. To set this up, the church in Jerusalem was persecuted, and when it was happening that, everybody sort of ran for their life and ended up in different places. And Philip ended up in Samaria, and Samaria were half-breeds, or half Jews and half some other nation. And so the Jews looked down on the Samaritans. But Philip went there and he started preaching the word of God boldly, and demons came out of people and people were getting healed and all these things happened. And these people came to faith. We get to Acts chapter 8 and this is what happens. Verse 12, let me read this to you. But when they believed, talking about the Samaritans, when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So they believed, so they're sealed by the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the water, and they became followers of Jesus Christ at that moment. Now let's go to verse 14, just one down. When the apostles in Jerusalem, and now the council of Jerusalem, these were all the leaders were at, sort of made the decisions for the church. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, that people in Samaria actually were believing in Christ, accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John down to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers. So they're believers. there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. My first years in faith, I was sort of like these guys. I had come to faith. I had believed. When Paul shows up at one place in one of the cities, he shows up and in chapter 19, verse 2 of Acts. He says, do you guys know about the Holy Spirit? They said, no, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And I was sort of in that same way. I'd been saved for years. I'd preached God's word. I'd led people to faith, but I had no idea about this concept of the third baptism. So I moved here to Arizona, back to Arizona from Arkansas in 1980. And how many people know all great spiritual things happen in Arizona usually? And so it just does. I was going to Valley Cathedral, and some of you may have went to Valley Cathedral way back in the day. I was on staff there for a while. And I was going to Valley Cathedral, and we went to a summer camp. But one night, somebody gave up, talked about this. And I know this is a tricky term, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. I never really had walked down that pathway. So I went down and prayed and asked to receive the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, something powerful came over me. It was a very engaging experience. And I can tell you, from that day till this day, my ministry and the things I do and the things I say and how I operate revolve around the power that I received at that moment to speak God's word boldly. There was something that changed. There's a great story about D.L. Moody. A Moody Bible Institute is in Chicago, and they have a very conservative theology, and so they probably wouldn't be talking about what I'm talking about today. But the founder, D.L. Moody, was an evangelist back in the mid-1800s, powerful man. The story goes that he was in a small church and he was preaching, and these two women every Sunday came up to him and said, we're going to believe God for the power for you. And he finally said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so they explained the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And he goes, well, I'm open to receive anything. Why don't you just pray for me? Instead of praying for me over there, just pray for me right now. So they prayed for him. And he said, at that moment, nothing happened. But as he was going on during the next week or two, he kept praying that prayer. God, if this is real, I want everything. And he said, he was walking down the street one day, can't remember where, it might have been Chicago, and all of a sudden something just overwhelmed him. He said it was like waves of liquid joy that just began to overwhelm him, and he had a friend, and he stopped the friend and said, can I go in? Do you have a room? Because I just can't be in the street now. He went out and went in this room and just was overwhelmed for a long time. And he said, afterwards, I preached the same sermons that I preached before, but something was different. And because of that, thousands of people through his ministry came to faith in Jesus Christ, and Bible school was started, and D.L. Moody has this story. Here's an interesting thing that you're going to see in the Bible. We're going to see in the book of Acts is there's a marked distinguishing point that they make when they talk about people in the Bible. There are certain people they say about being full of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you a couple instances here. This is in Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7. And what had happened in Acts chapter 6 is there was a church and there was widows, and they were taking care of the widows. And some of the widows were of one, were Jewish people from Jerusalem area, and one were Hellenistic or Greek Jews. They're from another area, came from another area. And the people did not feel like they were getting equal treatment, that there was favor being given to the certain group. And so they said, you need to take care of this, to the leaders of the church. And the leaders of the church said, I don't think we want to come down to that. We want to find somebody else to take care of that. So they went on a search. They had a search committee. And this is what they said. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are, they have 2 distinguishing factors, full of the Spirit and wisdom. Now see, we today would just find some wise people who know how to handle finances, who are impartial, and we put them on the committee. But they said we want 2 things. We want them wise, but we want them full of the Spirit. And you can insinuate this from this concept that there are people out there that are not full of the Spirit. And don't pick those people, because they need wisdom and they need discernment. And what is the best pathway for this widow? So when you look at that, look at these people. Now, Stephen was one of those guys. And Stephen spoke boldly about Jesus, and the authorities pulled him in and they didn't like it. And they were about to stone him to death. And that's when we get chapter 7, verse 55. But Stephen, again, he was full of the Holy Spirit. And when he was full of the Holy Spirit, he was about to get killed. He looked up to heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And I'm sure he smiled. And they didn't like that. And because he was full of the Spirit, he's able to see beyond this world and see where he's going. And he was able to die with faith because he was full of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas is another guy. Barnabas is great because when Paul was converted, his name was Saul. When Saul was going around, he was killing Christians. And all of a sudden he had this conversion experience. And none of the disciples or apostles wanted anything to do with him because they thought, this is a trick. This guy's just saying he's a believer so he can kill us like he's killed all the other Christians. But Barnabas took him on. And this is talking about Barnabas. But Barnabas was a good man. What was he? He was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Many of you are sitting here today. You go, I want to know what God's will is. That's why you come to church every Sunday. Paul tells the Ephesians what God's will is. And you're going to hear it again here today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine. That's God's will. And some of you are thinking, I know what you're thinking. How about beer? No, don't get drunk. Okay, that's God. any type of thing, don't do that. The reason is you'll become a debaucher if you do that. Because getting drunk leads you to debauchery. And you don't want to be that, right? How many people say, I don't want to be a debaucher? You're like, I don't even know what that means. That means that you just constantly give into these pleasures of sin. And that's what happens when you get drunk. You do things you wouldn't normally do. That's what it's saying. It leads you to a place that you would do things that you wouldn't normally do. You'd give in to all kinds of sinful pleasures and desires that you wouldn't normally give into. That's why you don't get drunk on wine or beer or anything else. Instead, here's God's will, be filled with the Spirit. That word filled is, again, another Greek picture word. And what it means is to cram the nets full of fish. Just to keep more and just push more in. My daughter lives in Japan, and I have great grandkids there. And you know I've been there many times. At a couple of the train stations in Japan during rush hour, they actually have men there in uniforms with little white gloves. Their job during rush hour, because it's so busy, is to cram people into the train. And they literally push people in, and they get more people, and they push people in. And some of you went on a mission trip, and you're just wall-to-wall people. You're just like this. Fortunately, I'm taller than everybody, so I don't get claustrophobic because they're all like right here, and that's their problem, not mine. But I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. But it is, their job is to cram this thing full. That's that word. Be filled. Just keep filling with the Holy Spirit. Keep the shelves supplied at all times. God's will is that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you are, just like Barnabas and just like Stephen, there will be a marked difference about your life. People will see it. Better father, better husband, a better employee. You'll be engaged in ministry. Now, I know for some of you who've been around for a while, you hear the term baptized with the Holy Spirit, or you've been around baptism with the Holy Spirit. It can be a very contradictory term, because people's definition has been skewed, or they want to make their experience a better experience, or that they figured it out. And some visitor was visiting a while back, and we have on our website what we believe. And when it talks about the Holy Spirit, it says, we believe in the empowerment and then parenthesis with baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said to me, nobody puts that on their belief system anymore. Nobody puts that on their website because it's such a contradictory term. And this is what I would say. No believer should ever say, I don't believe in the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Because it's in the Bible, right? It's very clear. I didn't make this word up. I didn't come up with this phrase. It's there from the very beginning. And we saw it. It's in the Bible. And this is what I want to say to you. God's gifts are always good. And so those who want to dismiss the Holy Spirit, the only person that really, really wants you to dismiss the baptism with the Holy Spirit is Satan. He does not want you to have a vital, ongoing, passionate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Satan already lost one battle. He lost you. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, he lost you. He doesn't want to lose the second battle. And the second battle is when you begin to share that with everybody else. And the Bible says this. Jesus said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses. You have power to do ministry and be my witnesses unto the ends of the earth. So if he can't stop you from being saved, the next best thing is for him to stop all your friends and family from hearing the news. So if he can get you off topic and get you to stop, then he's won the battle. If he can get you to resist or tame or restrict the Holy Spirit in your life, he's won. And do you know you can quench the Holy Spirit? 1 Thessalonians 5:19, this is a looser version, says, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not quench, suppress, subdue, or stifle the work of the Holy Spirit in your life." And Satan wants you to take that line and put it in a cage. That's what he wants. And leave it there. We had a cat once. It's before we came to faith in Jesus Christ. And all the cat people went, meow. This cat never came out. And I would accidentally lock it in the closet all the time. And like a day later, 2 days later, Judy's like, "Where's the cat?" I go, "I don't know." And we go searching to find where we locked the cat up. And I have no idea why I tell that story, except for the fact that there's a lot of people that do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. It's a lion that wants to roar through your life. If you do that, Satan's won his battle. If he can get you distracted with the terminology. And the problem is both extremes get caught up in all kinds of terms or specific expressions or all those things. I don't really know about everything about this, and I don't really care about everything about this. I just want to see you full of the Holy Spirit. And your spouse wants to see you full of the Holy Spirit. And your children want to see you full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus wants you to see you full of the Holy Spirit. So I've chosen not to quench, suppress, restrict the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I choose to continue being filled with the Holy Spirit. I choose to keep cramming the net full of fish. I choose to keep all the shelves supplied. And in 1980, when I got down at the altar, I don't know if it was a second experience or if it was a reservoir of water that I just let loose. I don't care. I don't want to get caught up on that. I just know there's a difference with people who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and people who don't. Stephen, Barnabas, you can see it. It's in the scriptures. So when we sing that, "Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're welcome here in my life all the time. I'm going to be seeking." I love the Mogollon Rim. We go up there all the time. The freshwater mountain lakes, they're beautiful. Woods Canyon Lake, I like to do some fishing there. You know what makes a beautiful freshwater lake an inlet and an outlet? Fresh water is coming in and water is being released somewhere else. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are downloading and we are ministering and giving out. There's a reason that palm scum is a derogatory word. Because a pond has no inlet and it has no outlet. It just becomes stagnant. One last scripture, John 7:38-39 says this, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers," some versions say streams, "of living water will flow from within them." And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. And he says, "Whoever believes in me, there'll be this inlet of the Spirit and this outlet. Rivers of living water will flow through them." I'm going to have the worship team come forward. And I'm going to ask a favor of you, that whatever you think about this topic or whatever you heard or whatever obstacles might be there, I'm just going to ask that you would just sort of let those go. F.B. Meyers wrote this, "The perpetual filling of the Spirit is only possible to those who obey Him and obey Him in all things." And we need to be obedient. And the first is to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, and to say, "God, I'm open at all times." And would you stand with me and let's pray? And when I'm praying about receiving something from God, even this morning, somebody came and they served me in doing something, and I just put my arms out like this, and they prayed over me, and I'm just saying to God, I receive that, just like when my grandchildren come to me or anything else, I receive it, and I put my arms out. And if you feel comfortable as we pray, would you say right now, "I just want to receive all that you have for me. Holy Spirit, empower me, fill me, flood over me, baptize me, put me deep in the waters. I receive all that you have for me. And I choose to embrace it. I choose to walk in it. I choose to seek it to ever keep me full of the Holy Spirit. And I choose to be a place where it comes out in rivers of living water to those around me, to bring refreshment, to bring healing, to bring the Word of God. We pray that in Jesus' name.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.